Hello and welcome to the 98th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And we are here, as always, to talk North Texas football and athletics. Harry, you realize it has been 5 years since we've had two wins this early in the season.
Gosh, it's amazing. You know, when I saw that stat, it blew my mind. But it's been a long dry spell, that's for sure. And it was nice to get a win. You know, kudos to McCarney and his staff. That was a big win on Saturday to get the second consecutive win at home.
Oh, it's great. I mean, and when you think about it, how important that was, this program. McCarney's here. You know, the last 5 years have just been miserable. You know, losses and early, just, you know, we're 2-4.
We're 2-4, and whether you believe it or not, we're right in the thick of having a chance to compete for the Sun Belt title. And I mean, when's the last time that, you know, I mean, that doesn't happen to us a lot the last couple of years. Now it's early. I mean, this game Saturday is going to say a lot about that. I think if we can win this game against ULL Saturday, you got to say we're right in the thick of it. And, but still at this point, we're still mathematically in it. You know, we're 1-1 in the Sun Belt, and that's a nice place to be for a program that's been down for so long.
Well, let's talk about Lafayette here in a second. But first, let's talk about FAU. Obviously not a powerhouse. They've seen better years.
Right.
Snelly's final world tour here. But, you know, we still played pretty good. The defense stepped up.
The defense stepped up in a big way. And I think a big part of that game, in my mind, is that third quarter. So far this season, you know, we've laid eggs in the third quarter, and something that McCarney must have had a really good speech at halftime or something, because those guys came out on a tear in the third quarter and basically took the game away from FAU. Defensively, you got to look at, you know, Royce Hill, and I got to, you know, I've been harsh on Royce at times. I've got to come clean. I mean, he had a hell of a football game. That was one of the neatest returns I've seen from a defensive back at North Texas probably ever. And then, you know, Stephen Ford, you know, he had his moment in the sun as well. Whenever you can get two pick sixes like that, you know, Brad Graham had another interception that helped us. That changes ball games, and especially in the Sun Belt. You know, when you can do that in the Sun Belt, you're going to win a lot more than you lose. And got to give major kudos to Clint Bowen. And what he's doing with that defense, putting them in positions to where they can make plays. And that's an encouraging sign going into this Lafayette game. If our defense can make plays like that against them, we got a good chance to win.
Yeah, our secondary's really struggled this year. And I was just as tough on Royce Hill, a senior, four-year starter. You know, we expected a lot. He just had a rough go. And really – you know, there was a lot of holes in the protection. I mean, a lot of holes in the secondary for the whole first part of the year. But when you look at FAU and you look at their record, I mean, you look at these guys, and they hadn't won a game all year. But look at their schedule. Yeah. They played Florida, Michigan State, Auburn, Lafayette, and then they played us. So really, you know, they were looking at going 0-3 no matter what.
Yeah.
So they didn't exactly have an easy schedule. Now, are they a great team? No. I mean, we kind of know that. But, you know, they're not a bad team, and you can't really tell by their schedule exactly what they're going to bring to the table the rest of the Sun Belt.
And, you know, the other thing about FAU is, man, they owned us when through Dodge and Dickey.
Yeah.
I mean, we have not beaten – those guys beat us every single year. So to get that monkey off your back it's a nice win. And I know they're down this year. They're probably not going to win a lot of ball games this year, but it is Schnelly's last season. And that worried me a lot going into that game, that they were really going to try to pull out a win. And I'll tell you something else. They've got some good players. I mean, they, you know, their defensive line, I was watching, they were getting good penetration. They were all over Derek Thompson all night long. So you just got to say, you know, thank goodness it's a big win, and it really sets us up well going into this game against Lafayette.
Yeah, Lafayette is, I guess, would have to be one of the big turnarounds nobody saw coming. That, I mean, nobody really expected much out of Lafayette.
Well, as pointed out on the board, they haven't really played a lot of powerhouses. You know, they've had a fairly, I would say, the lightest schedule of anyone in the Sun Belt. Some of those wins that have padded up that win-loss total have been against, you know, pretty pedestrian college football programs. But I have watched them play on ESPN3. They do have, you know, they had a big crowd for that game against Troy. I want to say like 27, 28,000 fans. It is a great atmosphere for people to watch a football game. They got that whole Cajun thing going on, and they've got the new coach, Mark Huthbeth, who he evidently has something going on because, you know, Lafayette was one of those games every year you looked at like an easy, you know, that's your best chance to get a win. And it doesn't look like they're that way anymore.
Well, let's look at their schedule and let's talk about them first. First game, they lost Oklahoma State, got drilled 61-34. You know, that's
Oklahoma State's a top 10, top 20 program.
Exactly. Oklahoma State's pretty good. Their second game, Kent State, they beat 20-12.
Kent State's not, you know, they're not McMurray, but
you're right. But still, but you know, that's
they're a Division I program.
The third game, Nicholls State, 38-21. Nicholls State, we're still, you know, still talking about Southland here.
But a strong, well, a strong Division I AA or whatever FBS FCS program.
All right, you're acting like a coach talking about the team. But you're you know, but you know, and then they played Florida International, who laid a big one there. And then they beat Florida Atlantic, and then they beat Troy. So they had a good slow start. I mean, you know, Kent State and Nicholls, but they've kind of worked their way up and coming up to us.
Well, the Troy game is the game that legitimizes
yes,
them.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
right.
Troy is our good buddy Brett Vito's, you know, always saying they're the class of the Sun Belt. They're the team to beat every year. So to beat Troy really is a says that they're pretty much for real. Now they didn't dominate Troy, but they won that game. They did it at home, and that's an impressive win for any school in the Sun Belt right now.
No doubt. All right, who's going to have to step up? Tell me what Troy. I mean Lafayette. I've never seen Lafayette play. Let's just act like I don't know what they're running. Are they a running team? Are they a throwing team? What are we looking for?
You're going to see a lot of passing from them.
That's not good,
and that's not a good thing. But I will say this, you know. We have got to get a pass rush. We were able at times to do that against Florida Atlantic and definitely could put some pressure on that big, tall quarterback. We're going to have to throw some blitz packages. I mean, if you give their quarterback time back there, he's going to hurt you in many ways.
And in Florida Atlantic, we gave him time. There was times where he was sitting back there and you're just watching him run around like they're on a playground out there, running around trying to get open, and the guy's counting 15 Mississippi.
Yeah,
before they go. I mean, it just they had so much time back there to throw it. Eventually, somebody's going to get open.
We just don't have anything on the front four right now. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, Brandon Apunku's a good football player. And he's got some speed, but really, other than him, can you name a defensive tackle or a defensive end that's a major pass rushing threat on our team right now? No, because we really don't have one, and that's going to be something that you know Clint Bowen's going to have to try to deal with as the season goes on. Hopefully, someone will emerge.
When we talked about even before the first game and Brandon McCoy and where they said he would never play and where he moved back to. I mean, was that kind of a foreshadowing of where we'd be with our pass rush?
Well, I mean, Brandon McCoy is a good kid, and he can play a little bit out there. But you got to remember, I mean, Brandon McCoy was not even really a scholarship player. This is a guy that's a great story. He walked on. He's an Army veteran and everything else. But the reality of it is, you know, he's still got a ways to go, and he's got some years of eligibility left to play out in. They need defensive linemen in this program right now. They need them really, really bad. Especially at the defensive tackle position, and you're already seeing that in the early recruit commitments that they're getting. They've already got a couple that have committed. So up until we can get those players to perform in the defensive line, we're going to have to use blitzes to our advantage and disguising them and using them at the right times. Sometimes you're rolling the dice because it can mean a big play.
Well, exactly. And with the way the secondary has had their the rest of the first part of the season, it's a very, very dicey move.
Well, it's going to be a challenge, but it's not insurmountable. Let's be honest. This is the belt. The belt is anybody's ball game, and a team like, you know, Lafayette that's been in the doghouse all these years just beat the best team, you know, the cream of the crop. So anything can happen. I like our chances. I think we got a good shot, especially if Lance can have a big game.
Right. So let's regress a little bit and talk about, or digress a little bit. Let's talk about the game. And I think a lot of people were disappointed with the crowd. We knew we were going to be up against Tufwin. It was Texas OU day. And it doesn't matter if the game is at 10 o'clock in the morning, or it was 11 o'clock this time. You're still going to have a very light crowd because people make plans to have a party all day. And then getting them geared up to go to a game, it's still going to be tough. Because even if you are not a fan of either university, it's a big rivalry. People want to watch the game.
Well, I mean, part of the problem is we're in the belt. I mean, how many Florida Atlantic fans did you see in the stands at that game?
Yeah, they were. And you know what I don't understand? Okay, here's something I don't understand. When you have that few visiting fans, why do you split them up?
I don't know.
There was like 15 down at the 10-yard line at one end, and then at the other 10, there was like another 15. I mean, at some point, you almost felt bad and wanted to tell them, hey, go sit by your friends. Because I don't know why we're splitting them up like that. I guess one was players, you know, families, and the other one was paying attendees or whatever. But it was strange. It was very strange. I'll tell you who had the best game of anybody was the guys that ordered the sweatshirts for the game.
No kidding.
Because
it got cold.
And it got cold, and at least till halftime, that gift shop was packed. People were buying stuff. I saw one gal in there. She was wearing a rather short skirt. I know it was short because I was watching it. And it was very short, and she was wearing the whole boots, short skirt, and she was cold, and she came in there and picked up a really not very attractive sweatshirt, and she's looking at it, and she goes, how much is this? And she goes, her friend goes, it's $60. And she goes, oh my God, I can't believe I'm about to buy this. And she bought it because she was that cold and she didn't have any option. They were out of blankets or anything. So it was a banner day for sales of product.
Yeah. Oh,
but yeah, that was strange. You know, we had the Texas OU game. We talked about it. And let's talk about the, you know, hit the Rangers.
The Rangers to me were bigger. That was even bigger because Texas OU was at 11. You know, I told you, I've told a lot of people, my wife's a Longhorn grad and I have to watch that game with her. We went to the lab there in Denton and watched the game with another friend. We got over to the stadium in plenty of time. I mean, the reality of it is, I think the Rangers game was the bigger detractor.
Yeah, it was a detractor. Plus, if anybody was driving up to that game, maybe had gotten free tickets or something driving up, and then they see what looks like the world's going to end, clouds coming.
Oh, it was a nasty storm.
And everybody was just like, you know what, I think I'll just go. And then it, you know, the game was at 6:30, so that blew in and dropped the temperature. It looked like it was going to rain, and somehow, with all the rain in the area, we managed to avoid it until after game time, which was pretty amazing in itself.
Just about the time the game's over is when it started downpouring. Now, I see here on the chat room, you're getting some bullshit on the excuses type comments and things like that.
Yeah.
You know what? Hey, guys, the reality of it is we are what we are. I mean, we're not a program.
12 wins in 6 years.
We're not a program that's going to fill out 25, 30,000
exactly.
people in under those circumstances right now. And wish we were.
We're lucky we've had the crowds we've had for the past several years. We're lucky that many people tailgate. We're lucky to have what we have. And, you know, when things like this, you can go. Just like Thanksgiving weekend. You know, it's not, people aren't going to show up. Next weekend, it's homecoming. Always have a good crowd for homecoming.
It's going to pick up. We have the, you know, and that's why this Lafayette game is another big reason to win this game, because that'll help us in attendance for that game. But let me say this. I know it wasn't a great crowd. I know we had a lot of issues, but that was a fun game. I mean, that was an enjoyable time. And I will say that anyone that was at that game, that brought anyone to that game, they went away from that game feeling good about it. We just got to keep doing what we can as fans, bringing friends, family, neighbors, whoever else out, getting them a chance to experience it. There were a lot of threads on the board this week about people that have brought friends to the game and them, you know, coming back and becoming, you know, season ticket holders and buying tickets. So we do what we can as fans to try to promote the program, and we just got to keep getting some wins. That's what's going to make a difference for us.
Well, that's there's no doubt, and obviously against Florida Atlantic, it turned out great for us. I would like to have an all-out win. I mean, I'm not going to get picky here, but I'd like to have a win where we win. There's no chance of the team coming back. There's no chance of them look like they're gonna pull it out against us. And unfortunately, we've had a couple of those that we never just seem to lock it down.
We get Matt gets very conservative, I think, at times. But you still had that scare with FAU on Saturday, where they started coming back and then they score a touchdown and then it's getting closer. And fortunately, we ran out of time, or they ran out of time, and we put the game away. But you'd like to see this team start putting people away more than they have been, that's for sure.
All right, looks like the Rangers up by 4 runs now. 3 run shot by Nelly. Thanks for the update there, 59.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Yes, I do want a blowout. Green 92 mentioned this. I want a blowout. I want a substantial victory where people aren't having heart attacks in the stands. I want to see us dominate a game. I don't want them coming back and getting within so many or eroding the lead like we saw to it. I mean, that's what I want to see. I want to see a domination. Is it asking too much? It probably is, because now we're looking. I wanted them to win 4 games this year. We've already won 2. I'm like, okay, let's go for 5 now.
Well, I'll one up you on that. My group watching the game after it was it was pretty clear that it was over. You know, there was some talk about New Orleans.
Oh yeah. Everybody's already talking about that. They're already looking at flights, and the camera's moving again. This thing's driving me crazy, dude.
We're having some type of earthquake over here.
Well, you can see it moving slowly. All right. You know what? You're just going to see my hands. I'll talk with my hands. So, you know, that's the thing. Yeah, people are talking about New Orleans. They're having delusions of grandeur because they're thinking, oh, this is it. We've turned around. We can win. And you know what? The belt, you never know. I mean, who was supposed to be good this year? It's changed.
And the other thing that I think is important is coaching. You know, one thing my dad and I talked, my dad as a season ticket holder, and he was at the game Saturday. This coaching staff, do you get a feeling after that FAU game that would have been a game that Dodge would have just come up short and we would have lost, or maybe they would have come back? I feel like this coaching staff can win those close games, and that's a difference that we have this year as opposed to years past.
It could be. I mean, I was thinking Ohio. I was thinking the Navy, where we just – did so much and still couldn't pull it out. But I don't know.
Well, the close losses, Dodge was a specialist in that area. And it seems to me right now that Mac is winning just some games that in the past we wouldn't win. And then some games that we may not have even had a chance to win. I think the Indiana game, that was a big win for Mac. And we know Indiana's not that great and blah, 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 and everything else. But I don't think that's a game that a Todd Dodge coach program wins. That's just my opinion.
Okay, you say that Indiana's not great, but they hung with Pitt pretty good.
They've hung with a lot of people pretty good since after they played us, and that may turn out to be a bigger win in time than we even thought it was when we beat them. So,
well, yeah, that was that's the win that turned the corner, I'm telling you.
Well, it could. It very well could be. I think this Lafayette game is a huge opportunity, and I'm really excited about it. I think to go and beat them on the road would be a huge boost for us. And I guess they must be cutting up in the chat room right now because you're laughing.
Well, no, I'm laughing because are you have you seen the bot, what it looks like on Ustream?
No. Is it the camera?
Yeah, it's look at it.
Oh, no, I don't have it up.
Well, right, no, now. But look at the camera.
Oh. Hey, guys. All right, I'll fix it.
All right, so, okay, well, what we're going to do here is obviously we've got a wonderful, we'll have a wonderful recap from Brett. It's a little off, but it's all right. We got a wonderful recap from Brett Vito he's going to talk about. He actually got to sample Tony's balls, which there was some controversy on exactly whose balls they were. But, yeah, so Brett got out there, got to try into that, so it was good. I'm glad he came out. I mean, you know. He takes a lot of heat from everybody, so it's good that he was out there. But I talked to Vito, and then obviously the conspiracy theory is that Tasty is going to somehow knock you off in the near future and take over the Mean Green fan world. So we decided to have him on to talk a little basketball because nobody knows basketball like this. Because last year when we talked to Coach Johnny Jones during one of the regular podcasts and had Tasty on with us, he managed to give us so much credibility that Jones was kind of reeling, and I can guarantee you at home in his lounging, Barco lounger there, he stood up and said, oh, this is not a blow-off interview. These guys know what they're talking about, when actually it was just Tasty. So we're going to talk a little basketball with him because that time is quickly approaching and we are going to have a stellar year. So let's go ahead and there's DL when he lost his balls. So let's go ahead and get Brett on. Okay. You know what? Let's talk to you. Want to talk basketball?
Yeah, we can do John Hansen first. All right.
So we're going to go ahead and pause this. We're going to go ahead and pause this. This Wheels Off Ustream with the poll. And then we are going to come back in a second with Tasty Greek.
Sounds good.
You gave away his real name, though. People are going to start looking him up. All right, joining us on the phone, we are once again lucky to have the beat writer for North Texas for the Denton Record Chronicle, Brett Vito. Brett, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
So, Brett, you got to go out and see a little, experience a little of the tailgating the other day. And, you know, I know the crowd wasn't what we had hoped, obviously, but were you surprised at all at the game?
I don't know. I mean, I thought North Texas would win that game. It's, you know, it's been a little surprising that they struggled so much offensively, but, you know, I mean, how often do you see back-to-back, you know, interceptions go for touchdowns in a game? I mean, I thought that was pretty interesting, and I think that was something that they really need just to build a little confidence and kind of, you know, to get things going.
Well, what, I mean, the defense, you know, obviously Royce Hill had great games. I mean, had a great game. We didn't really expect to see a lot of that, but, you know, with the way Florida Atlantic had played earlier games this year, I mean, you know, obviously their schedule, they it was kind of a tough. I mean, were you thinking that it was going to be as much as kind of a domination by us as it was? Or, I mean, you know, what have you had you seen or heard from them in the past? I mean, we talked about it briefly last week.
I don't know. I think Florida Atlantic is always a really tough team to gauge just because of the fact that they play, you know, four really big-time teams right off the bat at the beginning of the season. And then you kind of – you don't know what they've really got until they get into league play. And, you know, their quarterback got hurt in that game and came back in, but they played pretty terrible across the board. And I think you got to credit North Texas for a lot of that. They just played particularly well defensively against them and, you know, until the second half shut a pretty good running back down.
Brett, let's talk a little bit about – obviously defense had a great game. Let's talk about the offense. What do you think was the – I mean, what are they going to have to do to get that offense in gear against Lafayette, who could put some points on the board? You know, even if we have a strong defensive outing this Saturday, we're going to have to tweak some things on that offensive side to win that ball game.
Yeah, I was going to say, you want to talk about offense? Oh, boy. You know, I just don't know what they can do. I mean, I really have a lot of faith in Canales. You've got a great running back in Dunbar, but everybody knows you got the great running back in Dunbar. You've got Hamilton's a good player. I think it really hurt him that Outlaw was out that last game. But, you know, they just don't have a lot of firepower, to tell you the truth. And I think they're doing the best they can with it. You know, you just got to hope that they, you know, they come up with some big plays here or there. You know, they hit a long pass or two. Or, you know, they can get Dunbar free on a big run or a screen pass or something like that. I think they're doing about all they can. It's just that it's been kind of a struggle. And, you know, they really can't afford a lot of injuries on offense. And then you got a couple of guys that, you know, you had Outlaw go out and he was one of your reliable guys. And, you know, and all of a sudden you're looking at a pretty dicey situation there.
Can you talk a little bit about Lafayette as a team? I mean, what, you know, we talked about their passing game, but can you give us a little bit of a scouting report on what to expect with these guys?
Yeah, I mean, they went with Blaine back at quarterback. I mean, they switched quarterbacks from last year. He's more of a dual threat guy. He was injured last week and didn't play late in the game, and they ran out their starter from last year and still didn't miss a beat. You know, they've got the great tight end that we all know about, you know, and they've got some pretty solid running backs. They just look like they're good at the skill positions all the way around. They got a pretty good offensive line, and they're just real effective. They run the ball and they hit you with the play action pass. They get that tight end isolated on, you know, on one of your safeties or linebackers. And, you know, that's a mismatch there because he's such a good player and they're able to move the ball effectively. You know, they're going to be at home in front of a huge crowd, I would imagine. They had almost 30,000 last week. They've really got it rolling. They're 5-1. You know, they're going to pitch this. You know, they win this game and they're bowl eligible. You know, and before, Lafayette would always get to 6 wins and somehow manage to spit the bit and not get to a bowl game. But now it looks like, you know, they're right there on the verge of getting there. maybe winning the Sun Belt for sure can do a bowl game, or if not, having the number of wins it's going to take to get picked up by somebody.
News out of New Orleans today indicated that Wright Waters is going to retire. You know,
is that a bit of foreshadowing there?
Yeah, wasn't that interesting? You know, it came out today. They're in the middle of winter meetings. All hell's breaking loose in college football. You know, you've got all these teams going here, there, and everywhere, conference to conference. You've got TCU going to the Big 12. You got Syracuse and Pitt going, you know, Pitt going to the ACC. You got the Big East saying that they're going to expand. You know, SMU's pitching themselves to every AQ league out there. You know, there's talk of Houston going to the Big East, and it sounds like that might be what ends up happening. And then all of a sudden, right in the middle of the whole thing, when you don't know what the heck is going on, and you figure that the Sun Belt is going to have to figure out what it's going to do, and all of a sudden your conference commissioner in the middle of fall meetings just up and says, hey, man, I'm going to retire at the end of the year. That whole thing just was really weird to me, you know, and I put it up on my blog, you know, I'd say, well, all these other leagues are coming out, you know, you don't hear the Sun Belt people coming out and saying, you know, we're all about solidarity and we're all ready to go forward as a group in the Sun Belt. You hear, well, our commissioner's bowing out. I don't know. Something just didn't smell right about the whole thing to me.
It's weird timing, to say the least. And you would think, just, hey, we know you're going to retire, right? Let's hold off and announce this after some of this stuff, we figure out how things are going to fall out. But you wonder, at least I do, if you don't want Wright to, you know, be able to say on his tombstone that the Sun Belt stayed together for the 10 years that he was there and never had any changes. So it'll be interesting to see how that all comes to play.
Yeah, you got to wonder. I mean, you see the writing on the wall and see how the dominoes are going to fall and the Sun Belt's going to be raided, the teams, and what's left is going to be picked up by a depleted MAC.
I don't know if
WAC.
I don't know if you've noticed on the board, one of our posters, D-Rex, keeps bringing up that there's not a lot of Sun Belt signage at Apogee right now.
Oh, you? If you're North Texas, would you be painting, you know, Sun Belt logos on everything?
I'm
sure as heck wouldn't.
I just think it's interesting. It's kind of conspiracy theory almost, but I looked around last week, and I'm telling you, man, there is no Sun Belt stuff on anything.
No, but they damn sure have the Kolache Heaven sign up. So, you know, they got their priorities straight, and I think so. Well, you know, the dominoes are falling. I mean, when are the dominoes going to fall, Brett? When? I mean, is it a hole waiting for Missouri to see what they do, and then the Big East? Are they going to send out invitations next week? What's going to happen?
I don't know. I think the thing that's going to happen is, like I said all along, I mean, you got to wait for it to work from the top down. You know, and the Big 12 said is, okay, we're going to stay with what we've got for next year. But they're still out there looking, and the Missouri domino is still out there. I think once Missouri decides what it is going to do, if Missouri decides, okay, we're going to go to the SEC and be that last team in the SEC, and the SEC closes up shop and says, we're done. Well, then the Big East can say, okay, well, this is what's left out there. You know, what do we want to do? And the Big 12 can kind of say, okay, well, if we want to expand again, what do we want to do? And then once all those leagues right there decide what they're going to do, I mean, they're going to have to look expansion-wise. I mean, the only thing that makes sense is that they go after some of the teams in Conference USA, you know, depending on what league you're talking about, you know, the Memphises and teams like that, you know, just to throw one name out there. I mean, you know, whether it's whether the Big East wants to go Houston and SMU as travel partners in their league, do they go after Boise State? Do they get the service academies? And then at that point, you know, that would be another team out of the Mountain West. And then what does the Mountain West do? I think it all trickles down from there. Mark Hisla had a real interesting.
Hello?
Real interesting.
That was weird. Brett?
Yeah, we might have lost Brett's cell on that one.
Wow. That was a tease.
Yeah, it really was.
So read about it tomorrow in the Denton Record Chronicle. All right. So, yes, we officially lost Brett. So you want to go ahead and call him back? quick.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Missouri, what's the Big East going to do? Or they're going to need some teams down here. They want to have a footprint. Are they going to go for Houston? Or are they going to go for SMU? We hope they take SMU because we don't want them around so we can do something better. If they don't, do they just take Houston? You know, the other one that I was thinking about, and I know that they don't have a whole lot going for them, but you and I discussed this earlier, is La Tech. What the heck is La Tech going to do? Are they going to stay in that, you know? Yeah. Hold on a second, Brett.
I mean, La Tech's a good program. And
Brett, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead. You said something interesting?
Yeah, you left us right at interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's going to be once those leagues decide what they're going to do, then it gets interesting because Conference USA, they obviously go pilfer Conference USA. Now, what does Conference USA do from there? And that's when North Texas kind of comes in, you know, into the mix. And the Florida Internationals and Florida Atlantics come into the mix. I mean, who do they take and where do the dominoes fall from there? And I don't think it's any big secret that North Texas would really like to see SMU depart states left out of the WAC. I mean, out of the WAC, out of the
Conference
of
USA.
Yeah, I mean, once they're out, I think, you know, North Texas stands a really good chance. I think the dominoes are falling closer. And I just think once you see Missouri and the Big East, what they decide to do then, you see a little more about what the possibilities are for North Texas.
Let me add one more layer to this that's interesting. And this is not, I don't, you know how things are when you see these tweets and things on the internet, you know, people have fake tweet accounts. And so you don't know what's true and what's not, but there was a tweet supposedly reported from, is it Britton Banowski? That's the Conference USA commissioner that was basically, going after SMU and East Carolina, saying that they have not been good partners through this whole process, which, you know, if you think about it, the two schools in Conference USA, I mean, East Carolina has just blatantly gone after a Big East, you know, spot in the press and
well,
everything.
They've applied, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, they've applied. So they're, and then you also know SMU, Orsini, their AD, has been, you know, actively going after, not just the Big East, but the conference, I mean, the Big 12.
Yeah, he was
saying
now.
We're a Big 12 fit. So I find that really interesting.
They went down to the Dallas Morning News offices and, you know, basically lined out their case to their editorial board. I mean, I mean, how more brazen does it get than that? Then you just flat out go down to the, I mean, we could argue all day over whether it's the TV station or the paper in town that's the big media source, and you can make the argument either way. But you know, they went to the Morning News, which is one of the biggest papers and most read papers in the state and in the country and whatever, and basically said, "Hey, we deserve to be in an AQ league." Well, what do you think? I mean, if you're in Conference USA with them, I mean, what are you thinking? And basically, you're saying, "Well, we think we're too good for this league," you know. I'm sure that didn't exactly go over terrifically well with a lot of people when they did that.
Well, and people keep bringing up, well, what's RV doing and Dr. Rollins and everything else? And I think they're doing the right thing. I don't think being vocal or being in the press or anything in regards to their efforts to try and cut a deal with Conference USA or whatever else is going to help them. I think you do this kind of stuff behind the scenes. We know Dr. Rollins has tons of connections in Conference USA, and Rick does too, because heck, Rick was at Southern Miss. So, I got a feeling they're definitely doing things behind the scenes, because let's be honest, if SMU leaves and goes to the Big East, you got to think North Texas is a shoo-in. I hate to say that, Evan, because it's going to jinx us, but
But I know what you're saying. Geographically,
I mean, they're located here in Dallas. Their conference offices here. A big airport that a lot of the teams fly through is here. It makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, so. that's exactly that. You're exactly right, and that's the thing. There's got to be a footprint here, or you'd think that they would want one, and that would be a good fit for them. But what do they do? And who else do they take? That's the thing.
Well, I see mention of UT San Antonio.
We had this discussion with Arkansas State fan, and what all is UTSA going to bring? And that's the thing. I knew that city would get behind them. How long they're going to keep it up? I mean, sure, against the no names, they're doing great, but how?
Well, but they're not. I mean, they lost last weekend to South Alabama, who's going into the Sun Belt, and is a startup.
So
program.
It is tough, but still they can probably get some support. But that's still a long way off. So we still have to be a more attractive.
Well,
fit.
I think that's a market thing more than it is. Is our football team good thing?
Yeah, Bill Miller's just giving out tickets.
That's what everybody wants out of the UTSAs. You get into San Antonio, and the fact of the matter is, if you look at it, I mean, UTSA is got a pretty good case that they're a viable, high-interest team in San Antonio, and that's a huge town. You know, that's the attraction of UTSA. It's not whether, the football team is any good or not.
Right.
I mean, yeah, that would help.
Yeah, ESPN is the thing, the one that's reporting on this is driving this, and that's ESPN. I find it so ironic to see these ESPN experts talk about, well, the Big East is going to do this, and this is what's going on in the Big 12. ESPN is what's driving all of this, and it's all about television sets, and it's all about television contracts.
There was a story that came out that basically kind of indicated that the Big East turned down a big old TV contract proposal from ESPN. They go and say, no, ESPN, we don't want to sign up for an extended, 10-year deal with ESPN to cover it to be our television broadcast. We want to open it up to NBC and CBS. You know, we want to open it up to everybody else so that we can have the bidding open, and then we can get the best possible deal. And, lo and behold, right after that, Syracuse and Pitt go off to the ACC. And there were some stories written out there about basically the ESPN kind of drove it and said, well, fine, if the Big East doesn't sign up with this, we'll make sure we steer Syracuse and to the ACC, which will be better for us, and we'll just kill off the Big East,
Yeah, I hadn't heard that. That's interesting, and it's not surprising to me. I mean, it's really – at some point, someone's going to call ESPN out on this because they're acting, pretending like all this stuff is news that they're reporting on when they're the ones that are starting this in the first place with their damn TV contracts.
Well, it could work out to they're getting exactly what they wanted.
They're double dipping is what they're
so
doing.
So they're just keep it going. Brett, one of the things we were talking about while we lost you for a second on the interesting comment was Louisiana Tech. Are they just completely screwed, or what's the scenario with those guys?
Yeah, I mean, it could end up being that way. You wouldn't want to be a Louisiana Tech fan right about now. It'd be pretty interesting to see, where they end up and what happens to them, because things just have not gone well for them, and they want desperately into Conference USA, and you kind of wonder, is it going to work out for them?
Well, and I'll go a step further. I saw a post on one of the boards from a Southern Miss fan. And, Southern Miss has been a good, solid program for a number of years, and their name's not being mentioned in any of these expansion scenarios. And he's like, why are we the stepchild of all this stuff? Well, the bottom line is Hattiesburg. It's where you're located is driving these things as much as anything else. And strength, I mean, let's be honest, TCU has won a lot of ball games. They've had a, great run. That plays into it as well, because these supposed BCS auto-qualifying calculations are – although what's interesting is they have calculations. You've got to be in the top 25 for however many years, everything else. But they don't have calculations on what kicks a Big East. There's no documentation on what gets them kicked out of that auto-qualification. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all goes. But I hate that it dominates the conversation right now, and we can't talk as much about the football itself, but it is so significant for North Texas. If we were able to get into another conference like a Conference USA, even if SMU and Houston weren't in it, that would be a huge boost to us in terms of the opponents that we play, having cross-state rivalries. I mean, things that our program desperately needs.
Yeah, I found that quote. It was from Boston College Athletic Director Gene DeFilippo on the ACC's decision to poach Syracuse and Pittsburgh from the Big East. This was his quote. We always keep our television partners close to us. TV, ESPN, is the one who told us what to do.
There you go.
But basically, the AD from
Longhorn Network,
Boston College, came out and said, ESPN told us what to do, which is just amazing when you think about it.
Yeah,
but back to what we were talking about. Yeah, I mean, it would just be tremendous for North Texas. Even if SMU and Houston weren't in it, because you'd still have Rice, you'd still have Tulsa, You'd still have UTEP. You know, I mean, there would be a lot to like about getting into a league like that. You mean, you'd have some in-state rivals. You know, as much as you want to pitch, you know, oh, Arkansas State isn't that far away, and Louisiana Monroe isn't that far away, and Louisiana Lafayette really isn't that far away. Well, the bottom line is do any of your fans really care about any of those teams? And to tell you the truth, I mean, yeah, it's maybe some of the hardcore Texas fans do, but to the casual fan in Texas, nobody cares about Arkansas State, Louisiana Lafayette, Middle Tennessee, no matter how much history they build up, or Troy or anybody else.
No.
You know, Texas is kind of a unique situation where people in Texas care about Texas teams. And granted, UTEP is a bazillion miles away, but it's still in the same state. And, you know, people care about stuff like that. And that's just the bottom line.
Yep, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. All right, Brett. Well, before we let you go, tell us what you got working in the paper in the next couple of days.
I wrote a big story for tomorrow's paper. Spent some time talking to some different guys about North Texas's wide receiver situation. I asked this in a press conference. I know some people listen to the press conference stuff online, but I was asking McCartney about it. I mean, you look at like what they rolled out there, wide receiver and tight end, at, you know, for the Florida Atlantic.
Oh, no.
And there he goes again. Well, Brett, you there?
Yeah. You know.
Okay. Oh, okay. So hold on. We lost you there for a second.
Anyway, roll those guys out there. Did anybody else besides me look out there and think, who the heck are these
Yeah,
guys?
Well, that's what I was actually, before Harry, we switched topics on you, I had pulled that stat up and it's sitting right. Bynes, Power, Johnson, Delgado, Alowale, and Chancellor. Chancellor had four receptions for a total of 3 yards. Number one was Chris Bynes, 3 for 38. Powers, 2 for 25. Breece Johnson, 2 for 24. You know, his parents were down at the Miami game,
FIU,
and we thought, well, we might not see him, but with the musical chairs we're playing out there.
I saw his mom Saturday night. She's real happy. He's getting a lot of playing time this year.
No, he is. Yeah. Now he did drop one. He was pretty upset about it, but it was kind of weird to see him out there. It is a revolving door out there.
Yeah, and I talked to Brees, and he's kind of the basis for a story tomorrow about their situation. And, you know, it's a tough deal for North Texas, but in a way you kind of feel good for a guy like Brees who hung around for 5 years. And, you know, he's had 2 serious hip injuries and, you know, redshirted a year and just kind of – you know, when everybody else bolted, you know. And Brees, your classic practice player who just kept hanging around and hanging around and hanging around. You stay, you know, you're talking about he's been there 4.5 years and he makes his first start halfway through his senior season. You know, I mean, it's just amazing the way it all panned out. I mean, Tyler Stratford, you know, didn't pan out and left. You know, they kicked Darius off the team. You know, all these guys that you thought were going to be playing. I mean, how much did they pump up Tyler Stratford was going to be the second coming of whoever for years and years and years and years? Oh, when Tyler gets eligible, it's going to be great. Well, you know, Tyler never panned out. And Darius, you know, did some things that, you know, got him kicked off. Well, actually, one thing that got, you know, a couple times that got kicked off the team and things like that. And then all of a sudden you turn around and it's Breece Johnson is, you know, out there playing. And, you know, it'd be nice to see those guys continue to play well enough to help North Texas win just because they've, you know, they've stuck with it for so long. But so I've got that story in the paper, and then, well, you know, we'll address UNT at the midway point and things like that. And, you know, UNT playing a big game. You know, on the blog, I kind of look back at some of the, you know, theoretical big games from the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 years and how they all panned out and that kind of thing today.
Oh, very nice. All right, so you can obviously, when everybody does this, you always check the board and see what the posts are, and you'll see some articles Brett posts up there. But you can also see on the main page of GoMeanGreen.com the link to his blog, the MeanGreenBlog.DentonRC.com, where you get the raw, unedited, bare-naked version of Brett's thoughts, which are always quite interesting. So
and entertaining, too,
yes,
I might
yes. add. MeanGreenBlog.DentonRC.com, and check those out, and that's where you'll get the latest news. So if you hear somebody spreading a rumor on the board, the place that you're going to find it substantiated or you'll finally get verification will be on that blog.
That's right.
So, Brett, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Brett.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. You guys have a good night.
Take care.
Take care. All right, so that's Brett Vito, the beat writer for North Texas for the Denton Record Chronicle. It's always good to have him on there. He was out at the tailgate the other day. I appreciate him stopping by. He's definitely a follower, and following as long as you can, you know, he's a bit of a fan. He He won't say it, though. All right, so, wow, the chat room's really going downhill. So right now we are calling Tasty, who Tasty is the resident expert on North Texas basketball. And, you know, we expect to have a great basketball season this year. So we're bringing – did he answer? I don't know. So it just – oh, he's here. Hold on a second. All right. John, you there?
Yep. Hang on, guys.
All right. He's going to flush the toilet. I know it. He's going to do it. He's going to flush the toilet.
What's going on, man?
Not much. Not much.
Can you hear us okay, man?
I can hear Evan say something for me if you don't mind.
Something.
All right. I hear you both then.
Sweet. It's a wonderful world. All right, Tasty. Now, let me just explain this. Harry and I mainly do football. Obviously, you know the basketball team up and down. I've heard a few things about this new guy named Tony Mitchell. Not a whole lot. But for the average football fan that likes basketball but usually waits and goes to one or two games, tell us what we're looking at this year. Tell us when the Peach Basket's going to start back up, and tell us when we can expect and what we can expect from the team.
That's a lot of things to talk about.
Well, I know, but the Rangers game's over, man.
Evan likes to really, you know, give you a challenge right out
of
the gate.
Go ahead and start wherever you want to.
I'd like to pose my first question in 15 parts.
Okay, so subset A.
Let's take these bite by bite here. Let's start with the Peach Basket, the one thing I can tell you for sure. It was pretty nice having folks kind of looking forward to that. We weren't sure whether anybody was going to care whether what we had to say about basketball at all. So it's kind of fun to hear people actually looking forward to that again, besides the two of us. Jesse and I are planning on doing some podcasts, probably starting around Halloween. We are hoping that we'll be able to do it on a weekly basis. But for the first time in a while, actually, I went from working freelance to working a regular 9-to-5 job, like a regular adult. And so we may have a couple
it's
of
overrated,
like we did last year. So, but we'll be picking those up in a couple of weeks.
Sweet.
And everybody, I think, will be happy to hear that we're probably going to be more North Texas focused than we were. There's a really good, I can't remember the name of the guy, I think it's Danny Spiewak or something like that, some guy who goes to Missouri and works at a station in Columbia. But he does a generalist Sunbelt basketball website. So a lot of what we were trying to do for just general basketball fans, he's doing in written form. Better than we were able to do it on a podcast. So we're going to be more North Texas focused, hopefully, especially with so many new pieces like this Tony Mitchell fellow you mentioned. We'll be able to get people kind of as up to speed as we are for whatever that's going to be worth as the season kind of progresses and the team kind of coalesces into what it's going to be. So.
Wow. Well,
that sounds good. And I can tell you, I'm one of your big fans. I think the Peach Basket was a great show. And Evan was talking earlier about how well you handled that Johnny Jones interview last year and how impressed Johnny was with some of your questions and your knowledge of the team. I got to say this. I've been a season ticket holder in basketball in the past, and I can remember some highs and lows. I cannot recall as much excitement around a season as this upcoming season. I mean, Tony Mitchell is obviously a huge part of it. We've never had a player of his caliber step on campus, but then you've also got the recruiting class coming in around him, which is, you know, I think was in the top 20 nationally. Talk a little bit about this season and kind of the anticipation that we've all got about it.
Well, like you said, the enthusiasm is just, it's mind-blowing right now. It's really, really encouraging. Jess and I were actually talking about this not too long ago. It's pretty rare that especially in August and September and October, he and I are some of the more pessimistic guys about what the basketball team is going to do in a given upcoming season. So it's been kind of funny, like, trying to, you know, maybe tap the brakes a little bit, you know, maybe we're not going to go undefeated, maybe this. So, but where we're at, I think, with this team is we've got something that could be really, really special, really special. There's a lot of not big question marks because the talent's there even if everything doesn't go our way. But you've got Roger Franklin, whose waiver is apparently still kind of up in the air. We've been hearing that it's 99.9% slam dunk since the middle of the summer. But I don't know whose desk it is that our waiver requests are on for him and Justin Patton, but they need to get active on their inbox, I think, and maybe start figuring out whether we can expect these guys or not. But we have a couple of guys who could really put us over the top on the talent front. But it's just so rough to see so many new guys come in
And with the early season that we have, I think we have 8 road games in a row after our home opener. It's just my fear is, you know, we got a really good thing happening right now with football. We got a couple of wins under our belt. We got the stadium. People are excited. People are talking bowl. I was kind of hoping that we can keep this thing going with football so that we can maybe keep our fans distracted until, you know, December when we're back at home and we've got some guys who are experienced playing together. But, you know, I think by the end of the season, if people can just kind of fight through the growing pains, and the growing pains, when I say that, I mean, hey, maybe in November and the beginning of December before Tony gets here, maybe we'll be, you know, 5-4 or 4-5. That's growing pains, which is, you know, go back to when Johnny first started in the Trilly era and, you know, Jankovic, or as far back as you want to go, starting Jankovic, out 500 wow. in non-conference is, well, that's not too bad.
Yeah, well, but, well, so obviously the Tony Mitchell has probably given a lot of people some unreal expectations, but if you take Tony Mitchell out of the equation, let's act like he wasn't going to play at all this year. What would your expectations, you know, what would the expectations of this team, which obviously is fairly young, what would they have been?
Well, that's kind of the funny thing. I feel bad for Jordan Williams because, you know, if anybody who watched the Mean Green Insider thing with Johnny Jones and Hank this week, Chris Jones got a little spotlight, Tony Mitchell got a spotlight, and Jordan Williams, the guy who was really the first big hit for our recruiting class last year, he's almost slipped into kind of a backseat role. So that guy is arguably, aside from Tony, as a true freshman recruit, he's the best we've gotten in a long time. I won't say ever, because a lot of our really great years are before I was born. But that should give you a sense of perspective of what our talent on this team is like. Well, the guy who last September was the biggest deal we'd had in decades is maybe the 4th or 5th best incoming player we have just in our new recruits. So the talent level, even without Tony Mitchell, I would see us being strong contenders in our conference and very respectable in non-conference. Even with half the team being freshmen or you know, first-time players, we only have 3 guys coming back with any experience. When you throw in what we could have, what I expect we'll have with Tony in December, what we could have if Franklin gets the waiver that we expect he'll get, if Justin Patton gets the waiver that he should almost certainly get leaving Grambling, it could be something really, really special. Now, some guys are saying they expect or predict it's going to be something special, and man, I really, really hope that it is, but I don't want people at the end of the year, because when you look at the end of last season, we had a great start, an amazing finish that came up 1.8 seconds short, a horrible stretch of injuries, and a really, really disappointing conference run. And people kind of saw last season as a failure, whereas if the wins had come in a different way, I think it would have been seen as really just a pretty exceptional year. I don't want people to end up disappointed this year with what could be an exceptional performance by the end of the year from a very, very talented but very young and inexperienced together team. That's my kind of big fear.
Okay, so the schedule as it looks right now, is there an official schedule out?
Yes.
Okay,
so the schedule is out, and okay. Season tickets and mini packs are now available. So anybody who happens to listen to this who is asking about mini packs, there's a wonderful 6-game ticket package available for, I believe, $45, spanning the 2 weeks around Christmas and New Year's. And I strongly encourage you to get it because it includes your $25 LSU ticket. So basically, you're buying your LSU ticket, and for $20, you get to see 5 other home games, all of which, I will add, if I remember correctly, will be after Tony Mitchell Day.
Wow, that's a pretty compelling
that's
deal
a good
for
value.
People.
Yeah, that is a good deal. Now, you know, you're talking about the expectations are a little high. I think that expectation, you know what? I got you a little theme music here. I'll play it in a second, though.
Right.
So I think the expectations for football were kind of in the same boat. I mean, obviously not as high because of one single player, but I think a lot of people thought with McCartney coming in and somehow the stadium was magically going to make the team play better, which maybe it has a little bit, but I think you were looking at the same expectations that they are for the basketball team.
Well, I think we as a fan base are just desperate for something to get behind. I don't mean in a bad way.
We've been hanging our hats on women's soccer, man.
Seriously, like, yeah, man, we've almost made the NCAA tournament in women's soccer a couple years in a row. We have one good year in golf. Just the kind of attention that golf got last year when they were making their NCAA tournament run. We as a fan base are just so desperate for something we can really kind of hang our hats on. You know, I hope it's not all fixated on winning an NCAA tournament game or making a Sweet 16, because those are really rare and really difficult things, even for exceptional schools outside of those power conferences to do. But you know, if you're a basketball fan and all you want to do is watch when March rolls around, well, you may be in for a treat anyway. But if you're somebody that just really kind of wants to see a sport where we're not just good but really good and on the cusp of something just could be phenomenal, well, this could be a really good year to hop on board. Because if we don't get to that point this year, considering how many guys sat out the NBA draft last year, we may have a heck of a roster together again next year, including that one big piece everybody's so excited about to really make a push with a bunch of sophomores. So
exciting stuff. I tell you, it sure makes it fun when you got something to look forward to after football season, and then we certainly do with the basketball program right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And speaking of looking forward to it, this Friday is practice. I don't know that it's an open practice, but I'm thinking of trying to sneak away from work and, you know, hiding out in the bathroom with a super pit or something and trying to work my way in there and see what's going on. I'm really desperate, ready to see some basketball.
Tapping his foot under the stalls, I'm sure, in that bathroom there. All right, so I've got a little Tangerine Speedo by Caviar for your theme song exit here. So, hey, appreciate you being on. Everybody will be looking for the beach basket, because I'll tell you, last year, even though you might not keep the same format, I did listen to it and learn a lot, because a lot of us don't admit that we don't know enough about basketball and college basketball. So it was good stuff, and we appreciate it. So thanks for being on.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Take care.
Take it easy.
All right, so
good stuff.
It was good stuff. I think I dropped the call. All right, guys, that will be it for tonight, because we are already running over, and this will take forever to download, and Harry and I will be here for quite a while. Is that still on over there?
There you go. Okay.
So with that, we are going to go ahead and play the fight song.
It's been fun.
There it goes. It has been fun.
It's been a good show.
We appreciate you guys being on with us. I know there's a lot going on, and I know that you can go plenty of places to get your North Texas news, so we appreciate you coming to GoMeanGreen.com.
That's right.
So with that, we'll sign off. Take care, guys. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.